The readings for the sixth Sunday after Pentecost. The epistle is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Romans. Brethren, all we who are baptized in Christ Jesus are baptized in his death, for we are buried together with him by baptism unto death, that as Christ is risen from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we also may walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, and that the body of sin may be destroyed, to the end that we may serve sin no longer. For he that is dead is justified from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall live also together with Christ, knowing that Christ, rising again from the dead, dieth now no more. Death shall no more have dominion over him. For in that he died to sin, he died once. But in that he liveth unto God. So do you also reckon that you are dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Please stand for today's gospel, which is taken from that of St. Mark. At that time when there was a great multitude with Jesus, and they had nothing to eat, calling his disciples together, he saith to them, I have compassion on the multitude, for behold, they have now been with me 3 days, and have nothing to eat. And if I shall send them away fasting to their home, they will faint in the way, for some of them came from afar off. And his disciples answered him, From whence can anyone fill them here with bread in the wilderness? And he asked them, How many loaves have ye? Who said, 7. And he commanded the crowd to sit down on the ground. And taking the 7 loaves, giving thanks, he broke and gave to the disciples and to be set before them. And they set them before the people. And they had a few little fishes, and he blessed them and commanded them to be set before them. And they did eat and were filled, and they took up that which was left of the fragments, 7 baskets. And they that had eaten were about 4,000, and he sent them away. Thus far the words of today's gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Reverend Father, dear faithful, I would like to speak today on the mystery of the blood of our Lord, the precious blood, as we had that feast very recently. And we're in that month in which we give a special focus in our prayers towards the precious blood of our Lord. God has chosen blood as the sign of his covenant with men. It is very clear in the Old Testament. During the 10th plague of Egypt, the Israelites, through Moses, were told that they had to sacrifice a lamb. And then taking the blood of the lamb, they had to put it on the side posts, on the upper door posts of the houses. And the blood shall be unto you as a sign in the houses where you shall be. And I shall see the blood, and I shall pass over you. You should be spared, because your house is marked with the blood of the lamb. Later, after receiving the law on Mount Sinai, Moses, he built an altar at the foot of the mountain, and he had several calves sacrificed there, and he took half the blood, and he put it into bowls, and the rest he poured out on the altar. And then taking the Book of the Covenant, he read it in the hearing of the people, and they said, All things that the Lord hath spoken we will do, we will be obedient. And he, Moses, took the blood, and he sprinkled it upon the people and said, This is the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning these words. For the Israelites of the Old Testament, blood, the blood of these symbolic lambs and other holocausts, was a perpetual sign of their agreement with the commandments of God. And of course, it drew down upon them the favor of God, his blessings. Now, my dear friends, we know the true significance of those victims ritually sacrificed in the Old Testament. We know that they represent our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, as St. John the Baptist called him. And so, in the epistle given on the day of the feast, St. Paul says to the Hebrews, For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. My dear friends, the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ is really precious to us because It is the means by which God has saved us from our sins and from their eternal consequences, hell. It is Christ's own blood that has really given us any value. What are we of ourselves? Nothing. And why is it that God loves us? He loves us because of the blood of his Son. Even if a little thing be little in itself, it is made great by the price that is paid for it. I spent a lot of money on that when I went to the Holy Land and I bought an icon. Now I know that you have to be a little more circumspect when you're going amongst the shops there, not to buy every little thing you see, and that things are oftentimes well overpriced. So I bought this icon, a little triptych, very nice actually. I spent way too much on it. When I learned what it was really worth, I was a little scandalized that they should charge these pilgrims in good faith such prices. Nevertheless, I will be very upset if it gets broken. Not because it is valuable in itself, of course, because it is an image of our Lord, the true vine, but also because I spent a lot of money on it. It has a value because of that attachment, because of that price that I paid for it. One of the great lies, my dear friends, that we tell ourselves is that we really matter in this world. We don't. We do not matter to the world, for if we are dead, we are quickly forgotten. We do not matter to nature. There was an old trapper who, in an article in Outdoor Life magazine, he said that it's not that nature is out to get us, it's just that nature doesn't care. And that's the reality. Nature could care less about us. When the bear is eating us, he needs food. He is concerned with food. Or maybe we just got in the way of his territory, and he's very territorial. He's not stalking us because he hates us particularly. No, we do not even matter to the essential happiness of God. God is happy in himself. He is infinitely fulfilling to all of his desire and needs. No, he created us because he wanted to share with us his glory. We only matter because our Lord Jesus Christ has paid the price of his precious blood for us. That is why we matter. That is why we have some value. Every grace that has ever come to man in both the Old Testament and the New has come because of the blood of Christ. Every conversion, somebody chooses to become a Catholic, changes, alters their life in a new direction, a direction towards the true God. It happens because of the blood of Christ. Every act of virtue that we perform, every good and meritorious act, every merit, every soul that is taken up to heaven is brought to heaven by the blood of Christ. Consider, my dear friends, the sacraments. You know, sacraments have their vigor by the blood of our Lord. From it, the sacraments receive their vigor and power. To the couple receiving marriage, for instance, they're reminded during their marriage of the words of St. Paul, talking about the relationship between Christ and his church. Christ sanctified and perfected his church by his bloody sacrifice on the cross. And so also, therefore, St. Paul concludes, ought husbands love their wives, sacrifice themselves for their family. Every marriage is a symbol of the blood of Christ shed out of love for his church. And of course, it is also a bond that is sanctified sacramentally by that blood. But for us, dear friends, the blood of Christ also has value in itself. It is on account of the hypostatic union, uniting his human nature to the divine in the person of the Word, we can truly call the humanity of Christ the humanity of God. And therefore, everything of that humanity is in a certain way divine. It's attached to the divine person. Every action performed, though it be a human act of our Lord, also has an infinite value. And so the body of our Lord, the human body of our Lord, we adore. The blood of our Lord, we adore. It has a value of itself. It belongs to Christ. When we visit the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in the Holy Land, we revere, we venerate the places where our Lord has suffered and died for us. The Mount of Calvary, the Holy Sepulchre wherein he was buried, and also the stone upon which his body was washed. We have reverence towards these things because they are instruments of our redemption, but also because the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ has come into contact with them. And so it is in every Mass that the priest is very careful with the precious blood, as with the sacred species of the host. And it was long after the consecration, as the species remain on the altar, our Lord's blood is there. There are three altars on the altar, three cloths on the altar. And these three cloths are not only symbolic, but they're also practical. They're so just in case a drop of the precious blood falls from the chalice, it can be absorbed, it can be collected. And there is also a process. If ever that happens, there's a process by which the priest has to purify those linens. He has to dip them several times in water until all of the precious blood, the smallest amount, is dissolved. It is dissipated in the water. And then the cloths can be laundered as usual. The purificator, that cloth that covers the chalice, when you see the veil taken off the chalice, during the offertory, you notice also there's a cloth that covers the chalice, a little white cloth. It's called a purificator. It is used in the ablutions, used to wipe the priest's fingers. It's used to wipe surfaces. It is also used in case there is a spillage of the precious blood. My dear friends, we have to consider very deeply our relationship with the body and blood of our Lord. Recently, we celebrated the Feast of Corpus Christi, and now a few days ago, the precious blood. The value of these realities is infinite as God himself. How do we treat them? I do not mean physically. Yes, we must have a special care when the priest treats of the body and blood of our Lord, yes. But I speak more of how do we treat what they have brought us, what they have bought us. Are we all too willing to squander what we have gained by the shedding of so precious a commodity, that our Lord's sacred blood should have dripped and touched the ground for our sakes? Do we respect, do we love, do we treasure what he has bought for us by that shedding? When I was a student in boarding school, I was so afraid of failing a grade. And it was not only because of the shame of failure, but it was also because I knew what my parents had paid to get me to that boarding school. I knew that they couldn't afford it because I asked to go the year before and they said they couldn't. They couldn't send me. They didn't have enough money. But then we were given a special gift from above in the form of a bit of inheritance. And my parents took part of that and they put it towards my education. And they paid for that final year of high school, and I got to go to a Catholic boarding school. What a tremendous benefit. No, I was so afraid that if I failed, I would have wasted my parents' money. And how could I face them? How could I stand before my father? You didn't have to try too hard, but a little bit would have gotten you through. Why did you waste the money that we put towards your education? Oh, my dear friends, the blood of Christ is priceless. It was paid so that we might have all that we have now, so that we might have the faith. Our faith is because of the blood of Christ. That virtue has been poured into our soul in baptism. We have the sacraments, the sacramental life. Every grace that we receive is bought by the blood of Christ. Even the external trappings, we can say, in a way, come from the blood of our Lord. This big, beautiful church that we have, a priory nearby with priests living there, a Catholic school. It's given to us by the passion and death of our Lord, ultimately. Well, my dear friends, everything that we have, everything that we are that has any value, it comes from the blood of our Lord. Shall we squander such a gift, or shall we treat it in a cavalier fashion? It was said of our Blessed Mother that she would frequently visit the places where our Lord shed his blood. And although we may not be able to imitate her example by flying off to the Holy Land, we can at least show our gratitude in other ways. For instance, a greater effort to retain sanctifying grace in our soul, to love and to grow in the life that God has given us, his own life. More effort to make ourselves God's instruments for the salvation of souls. Christ shed his blood for them. He shed his blood for us. We should participate willingly in this work of the salvation of souls, the effect of the blood of Christ. A greater attention to the sacrifice of the Mass, the unbloody renewal of that very bloody sacrifice. My dear friends, let us ask our Blessed Mother that we value our Lord's blood as she did, as she does, that we learn how to respect all that it has given to us, to humbly approach the sacraments, knowing that it is by virtue of this tremendous gift that we have all that we have, and ask that we may be faithful in it until death. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.